This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of The Golf Show right here on 93.7 The Fan. I was thinking about this week. When we started our season back in mid-March, it was the day after the PGA Tour shut down the Players' Championship because of the first concerns about the COVID virus. So at that point, and for, you know, a while after that, we weren't sure what the summer was going to bring, or the fall. Were there going to be tournaments? What about the majors for the year? How was this going to affect people in general and golf? It's November. The Women's Open will be played in December. And then we'll roll the calendar over and start all over again. Although, as usual with the PGA Tour's wraparound schedule, they're already playing the 2021 part of the schedule. It's been quite a summer. And I can tell you from having been involved with golf on a local level, I've covered a lot of the local tournaments this year, and for those guys, it's been a struggle as well. The West Penn Golf Association, the Tri-State PGA, they faced a lot of uncertainty. And they were in contact with their national leaders throughout all of this. Had to make some tough decisions along the way about what tournaments were going to be able to be played, which ones weren't. But amazingly, and if you think of it, it really is fairly amazing, both associations completed the season last week. The Tri-State annual pro-am in Las Vegas is being held right now, but the West Penn finished their season on Tuesday and Wednesday at Sewickley Heights Golf Club, and it was how to describe it. It was very, very, very difficult. The conditions, there was some wind, there were wet fairways in some places. There were rock hard and fast greens. Almost everyone was like that. Challenging pin positions. It was a struggle as they tried to play the 89th Senior Amateur Championship. The course was spectacular. It was just a great setting for a tournament, a big tournament. It was difficult. And it wasn't that the West Penn set it up difficult, or I mean, in a very difficult manner. But it was just the way the conditions were. You know, guys were putting off greens. Guys were chipping off greens. There were hole outs from all kinds of distances. David Brown from St. Clair almost drove, well, he did drive the third green and almost made an ace on a par four. So there was some spectacular golf, and, you know, everyone kind of breathed a sigh of relief when the tournament was over. More, not so much just that the tournament was over, but that we had completed a season. And if you would have talked to anybody in March or April or May, there were a lot of questions about what kind of season there was going to be, or was there going to be a season. But I think the two local organizations deserve a lot of credit for what was done, what was able to be done. No, it wasn't easy. No, it wasn't the same as what we're used to seeing. But we played golf under some very difficult conditions this year. And considering how things went, it was probably appropriate that the guy who was the winner at Sewickley Heights this week was Sean Knapp. He has, you know, he's been one of the elite amateurs here in Western Pennsylvania for a lot of years. He now has won the senior amateur each of the first 3 years that he's been eligible to do that. It's 55 and older. He just, really no other way to say it, he just blew the field away. He had a 6-shot lead after one round, and he ended up winning by 9. And to do that in those conditions was pretty remarkable. Knapp is on his way toward perhaps the greatest West Penn Golf Association career that has ever happened. He's heading toward 50 career wins in West Penn events. And he played, you know, not carefully, but he was in such a groove that he hit most of the fairways, most of the greens, and that's how you win championships. And it's funny, you know, it came down to Knapp and David Brown, and they finished 1-2. And just a couple weeks ago, that was the order of finish at the Art Wall Junior Memorial Tournament out in the eastern part of the state. Sean shot 73-67, and David shot 69-72. And he just continues, not only at the West Penn events, but at the state level. He continues to win. That was his 20th win in Pennsylvania Golf Association events. Pretty cool stuff. And like I said, we have had some outstanding winners this year. Some great seasons turned in by younger, middle, and older players. We're fortunate, and we've talked about this several times this year. We are fortunate with the level of players that we have right now. We have a very strong mid-amateur age group. That's the one that Nathan Smith dominated for so long. And now, I mean, you know, we have Brett Young, Jimmy Ellis, Connor Schmidt, just out of college is you know, going to be entering in that group. Mark Goetz, he's in college, and he's going to be in. The list goes on. We have a significant amount of really good players, and it's going to be interesting to see how they mature as these college kids like Connor Schmidt. Palmer Jackson just won a tournament at Notre Dame. There is talent. Excuse me. There's talent here, and it's fun to watch these guys mature. Having said that, we are grateful, I guess, to have been able to play as many tournaments as possible. But we also kind of stand back and look at what's going on among the golf playing public. You know, we all had that anticipation as we got closer and closer to getting the okay to go back to play. And, you know, it didn't take any kind of genius to figure out that there was going to be a big demand by people who hadn't been able to get out to play, and they were going to play in droves once we got the okay, and they did. There were full tee sheets everywhere. I don't know how many times I heard about somebody calling to get a tee time, you know, both at public and private courses, and they were told the first tee time they had was 4:30 in the afternoon. And that's continued. As we head toward mid-October, it's still that way. There are people all over the place. And, of course, that's great for the industry. It's great for the courses and clubs because they faced a summer of, you know, possibly some dire straits in terms of finances and revenue. And it's not all perfect yet, but the great number of players that have turned out have helped take away some of that sting of losing March and April and some parts of May. On the professional level, it's the same kind of thing. We're back to playing tournaments. We're on a regular basis. A number of virus cases is down. Not a great number of players on any of the tours have been shut down because of the virus. So, you know, it's all full speed ahead. It's just a little different looking golf landscape out there. And speaking of that, did you get to see, I saw it online a couple different times, aerial photos from the Masters. You know, this is the off season for Augusta National, and it's coming to a close. They normally, if they're not open by now, they would open real soon for the winter season down there. Well, obviously, it's different because they have to get the place ready for a Masters tournament in about a month, 3 weeks. Well, about 2 weeks ago, there was an overhead picture taken, and from the holes that they showed in that shot, everything was brown. The grass was, you know, it was out of season, so it was all brown. Then they overseeded, like they do, and took another photo of the same shot, and everything is bright green like we've come to be accustomed at Augusta National. Amazing, you know, and hats off to that grounds crew as well as grounds crews all around who have worked very hard to get courses in good shape and keep them that way. But it looks like we're going to have a traditional Masters in that regard. It's going to be lush. It's going to be green. What we don't know for sure is how the ball is going to react, you know, at this time of the year. Will the fairways be firm? Probably. Will the greens be fast and hard? Yeah, they'll be as fast as and hard as the Masters wants them to be, because they have that capability. But we don't know how the ball's going to react, because this will be the first time it's been held at this time of the year. So we got that to look forward to. And the other thing is, the next two majors that we watch will be from Augusta National on the men's side. So that's really cool, too. We have no majors for a while, and now we're going to have two in, 6 months? So the ladies are playing this week at Aronimink in Philadelphia, one of the great old courses that we have in the state. And going into today's final round, Se-Young Kim is at 4 under par. Carlotta Segonda is at 3, along with Danielle Kang, Jennifer Kupcho, and Anna Nordqvist. They continue play today and finish tomorrow. And on the men's tour, they're playing out in Las Vegas this week, the Shriners for Children's Tournament. And the leaderboard, there are four guys tied at the top, and Bryson DeChambeau is lurking, shot 62 on Thursday. And there's hard to imagine, but there's controversy around him again. The young Englishman, Matthew Fitzpatrick, took some shots at DeChambeau, said what he's doing with his prodigious length is ruining the game. It's taking away skill, blah, blah, blah. And DeChambeau was very nice in his response, said he'd like to talk to him about it and help him if he wanted to get some more length off the tee. I'm not a fan particularly of DeChambeau, but that was a pretty good response. He could have gone off on him, but he didn't. And, you know, he's going to be the target just because he's different and he hits a ball so far. And that's just the way life is going to be for him for a while. So that'll be interesting to watch the last two rounds out there as well. So we're going to talk more about these kinds of issues today. We have a couple guys coming on who know some about that. And we'll do that right after this break. We'll have a 2020 sports update, pay a couple bills, and we'll be back in a little while and let the conversation begin. You're listening to The Golf Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Tuesday through Thursday at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. So say that fast. I want to give a shout-out today. I was very fortunate yesterday to be able to play Fox Chapel Golf Club. And, wow, it is spectacular. They have been doing a lot of work over there. They have a Seth Rayner golf course that has traditionally been very good, and they have tried to do some retro work. They have squared off a lot of the bunkers and changed some greens and taken out some trees. And man, it is wonderful. I mean, not just really good, but wow. It's, I don't know how to describe it. they have reshaped greens. They have, as I said, squared off a lot of bunkers. And it's the kind of thing that you have a bit of a hard time describing because you almost have to see it to believe it. Like I said, it is really good, and I just want to say thanks to the folks over there who took care of us yesterday, and I enjoyed the heck out of that, and look forward to going back there sometime. I think in my mind this is a good news sort of little story. You know, we talk about slow play and how the PGA Tour does nothing about slow play. Well, the LPGA did something about slow play. A young lady named Clara Spilkova was assessed a two-stroke penalty for slow play yesterday, and as a result, she missed the cut. She's a 25-year-old Czechoslovakian. She was at five over and was hit with the two-stroke penalty at the end of the 15th hole yesterday for a breach of the event's pace of play. That turned into a double bogey, and she parred her final three holes to finish seven over. And for the seventh time, along with one withdrawal in 11 PGA starts this year. So the learning curve is tough, obviously, but kudos to the LPGA for finally doing something. And they need to be, the guys over in Ponte Vedra Beach need to be looking at that and, you know, maybe actually doing something about that. They are very reluctant to do that for a variety of reasons, I suppose. You know, they don't want to have guys, you know, some of their best players who are on the verge, right on the edge of the cut line, don't want them to be missing the weekends because that's what advertisers pay for. And, you know, it's, they don't get to see the big guys, then it's not quite worth as much to the advertisers as it is the other way. The other shout-out I wanted to mention was I want to give Oakmont Country Club a lot of credit for something they did. For the first time, they had the girls' WPIL championships there this past week. And, you know, Oakmont is one of the top five golf courses in the world. We all know the history. And they don't need to do that. Things like that. For one thing, their tee sheet is full just like everybody else's. So for them to give up their course for, you know, 5 hours or whatever it would take, is pretty cool on their part. And the young ladies were, you know, just wide-eyed once they got out there. And there were some, you know, and I don't even remember who said these things, but, you know, there was some young lady got through her round and was walking up the hill toward 18 green, and she said to somebody, "Boy, oh, boy, this was wonderful. But I have never seen anything like this in my life." And you get out there and see that place, and you play it, and you probably have the same kind of reaction. But that's really that was really good of Oakmont to do that. You gave those girls the opportunity that, you know, they may never get going forward. But they got to see what a world-class golf tournament or golf course is, and they'll be talking about that for a long time. I don't know if you saw this story, but Brooks Koepka has committed to play next week at the CJ Cup. That'll be his first competitive appearance in 2 months. The Wyndham Championship in North Carolina in August was his last event. He missed a cut there. Then he withdrew from the Northern Trust, and he missed the Open last month. He's been dealing with a knee injury, and it's been kind of slow to come back, and he's not played, obviously, nearly as well as he has in the past. There's going to be a good field there. This is a tournament that was played in South Korea in 2018, and Koepka won it, actually. And it's going to be at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. And some of the guys that are going to be there are Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Colin Morikawa, and defending champion Justin Thomas in a 78-man field. Who knows? You know, it's we're going to see guys now starting to pop up in these events as they try to get ready for the Masters and try to get their game sharp after, you know, the screwy schedule that we've had. You know, you got a guy like, and we've all seen him, maybe don't think of him as an elite player, but, you know, Patrick Cantlay seems to play like lights out in Las Vegas, and there's no pun there, lights out, get it. He made four straight birdies in the middle of the round yesterday, got right back up to the top, and he is he's right there with Martin Laird, Peter Malnati, Brian Harmon, and Austin Cook. They've been tearing up that course rather nicely, to the effect that the cut was at 7 under par, 135. It's the lowest score to par to make the cut on the PGA Tour since 1970. That's pretty cool. Morikawa, as we talked about, who had made 23 straight cuts on the tour in his rookie season, he's now missed three in his last nine starts, although in that stretch, was a win at the PGA Championship. So kind of a mixed bag for him. All right, it's time for our next break of the day. We'll get you a 2020 sports update, and we'll be back to continue the golf talk right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.